Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about why fully embracing direction is a superpower, and the many reasons why you need to acquire it. I'll explain. I say it all the time that my classes, whether they're live or Zoom, 50% of it is acting theory, and 50% of it is taking the direction that I give the actor. And what I mean is, and I've said it a lot, is that when you take direction and you get better and better at it, and I'll explain what I mean by better and better in a moment, but as you get better and better at it, the actor at the same time becomes a better actor. The actors that are most open and are most able to fully go after whatever direction I'm giving them, I find them to be the actors that tend to grow the fastest, the most, they make the most improvement, and they start doing the most interesting work, with or without direction. And here's why. I find that the actors that are most open to direction and can wholeheartedly take the direction, almost with reckless abandon, I find those actors grow the most, the quickest. Most of the people that study with me these days know me through my podcasts, so they've already gotten a snootful of what I'm about, what my approach is, you know, kind of what I'm into. And so I don't get a lot of bristling when I give people their notes or ideas or kind of challenge what they're doing with questions. I don't really notice a lot of bristling, you see, because as I said, people kind of know what they're in for. I'm talking about when I just start working with the new actors that join my sessions. And we're working out, we're trying things, we're going after stuff. You know, the exercise of taking direction, just not questioning it. Director says, look, I want this scene, you know, I want you hotter. I want this way hotter. I want to come in like we're in the middle of this thing, and I want it to go way up, you know, this thing, or whatever the sudden change. And it can be significant, and I'm really speaking of a significant change. The ones that bristle tend to be hanging on to the idea of, look, what I'm doing is valid, what I'm doing is good, I think what I'm doing is right, I think that this choice that I made is more correct than what you're telling me. To that, you see, to that I say, so what? We're not shooting it. This isn't being, you know, set down in stone. We're not being graded right now. We're in a gymnasium and we're working out. And I'm telling you, I'd like to see you do this differently. And these are the reasons why. What is the harm in doing that? What would happen if you did that? Everyone just heard me tell you to do it. And if you masterfully do exactly what I say, the only thing that people are going to think about you is, wow, look how magnificently that actor took that direction and made it work right in front of us. Isn't that the dream? Isn't that the aspiration? Isn't that what we all kind of want to be? Like I've said many times, the analogy I use of the great dancer who, given choreography right on the spot, just spins it in the gold. There you go. What else do you need, boss? Now, again, I'm not just talking about a master race of dutiful actors. What I'm saying is that my observation has been that the actors that tend to just embrace an idea without bristling, without worrying about what they just did, but really are so open to just take this new idea, even if it's 180 degrees out from what they just did, and make it work, they tend to be the actors that I find grow the fastest, and they're the most adept. Because these actors, you see, are not as insecure as the bristly ones. Are the bristly ones insecure? Yeah. Yeah. Because as I said, what difference does it make? I mean, everyone saw what you did. And if it's really super cool, we all saw that, we got it. And then if what I give you, if you embrace it and do it, it's not as cool as what you just did before, then everyone knows that, including probably the coach, the teacher, the director. What are we really losing? What is being compromised here? What, are we wasting time? How do we know we're wasting time? This is a hierarchy. You're asked to do something by the director, you do it. That's how it works. That's how we get this thing done. That's how we get up the hill. So where's the shame in any of this? And so why do we need to bristle? Why do we need to explain? Why do we need to stand up for what we did? What difference does it make? We just do the other thing, and we do it with vigor. And what that does is it builds this incredible muscle. And it enlightens the actor to know, you know, I can do this thing so many different ways. I can make them all work. It isn't just about one thing. Because the one attribute I see in the tightest actors who are, you know, their light is like dim and very introspective and rigid and small. The one thing I notice is in these actors, there is this worry that what they may be doing could possibly be wrong, not right, not accepted, not what was wanted. And that right there scares the bejesus out of them. As a result of having the bejesus scared out of them, they end up being actors that are just not real facile. They keep a white-knuckle grip on their idea and the fear of maybe their choice, their ideas, their approach being wrong or not what is wanted. It constricts them so that they get so uptight, they're not user-friendly, and they're just not as adept. If you have a bristly actor, an actor who is, going to want to face off or tell me why or want to support why, what they just did, and we start getting into this, what's happening is, you see, is that if you could imagine some kind of a vessel, a jar, as the actor gets tighter and I'm trying to pour in the information of new thought, of something to consider, of new direction, that opening on the top of that vessel just tightens up real small. And they don't nearly get the information as clearly as when the actor is just relaxed and listening. Now, are there times when you need to stand up for what you're doing? Yeah, absolutely. Here's when. When the thing is actually being filmed, when you're actually a working actor, and there is actually some consequence that might be the result of this very performance being recorded the way it is. In other words, you're in a huge film. This is a big deal. This is a big moment. This is a big story. This is something of some consequence. People are going to see this, you see. And then every fiber in your being is telling you, you know, this is junk, what they're asking me to do. I can't make this work. I don't know, you know. At that moment, well, yes, you're an artist. You have to stand up for yourself. You have to tell people certainly what you're thinking. And then hopefully have some sort of lucid conversation about it. And a bunch of artists collaborate and we come up with something. And we do that because there is consequence. And this little thing you're doing right now is kind of one of those forever things. So, you know, as an artist, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm proud of my painting before I hand it in. Yes, absolutely. But never in class, never in the dojo, never in the gymnasium, never in rehearsal. That's why it's called rehearsal. But I'm saying this not to admonish any of you bristly actors. I'm saying all of this more to encourage you to continue to strive to be open and to really fully embrace. Now, what do I mean by fully embrace? It is a constant where I will tell the actor, you know, go bigger, make it more, be hotter, raise your voice, you know, speak quicker, go at her, go at him, you know, whatever I'm saying. I'll notice that the next time they do it, I can barely tell the difference. I even make the joke, geez, if I had my difference-o-meter turned on, perhaps the needle would have moved 1 degree, but I couldn't see it. And I'll ask to do it again. And I know the rest of the class is watching, and I'm sure everyone's seeing the same thing I am. And what it's really saying is, for those of you that think you're taking direction, a lot of the time you're doing it very begrudgingly, and you're not really doing it differently. I promise you, because I've been watching this for years and years. The actor thinks what they just did was different. I know that everyone is actually trying really hard to incorporate the idea. Perhaps I've made good sense, they've nodded in agreement, and now they go to do it, and the needle doesn't change. I don't see the difference. What does it tell me? Is that when you're asked to embrace a bit of direction, you'd be better served to do it a lot more than you even think. No one's going to admonish you for that. They're going to go, okay, great. If anything, I always applaud people. I always think when I see an actor being given direction and I see them really change it or go for it, I always say, man, tally-ho, good for you. Wow, that's excellent. You're not afraid of nothing. And we immediately respect those actors. We don't think, oh, what was that all about? Hey, calm down a little there, buddy. We don't think that. We think, fantastic. Now the director can say, fabulous. Do me a favor. Give me 50% of that. And we're on our way. You know, I know as having been a director and directing, that sometimes I'm looking for something in the scene and I'm not quite sure of what I'm looking for, but I know it needs to be not this maybe. And so I ask things, you know, I say, yeah, go more, be completely indifferent, you know, be completely obsessed, you know, and it seems like I'm shooting around in the dark trying to find what I feel the essence or the best path for the scene is, and the truth is, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing it. That's exactly what I'm doing. That's what I'm using my rehearsal for. So I'm actually asking the actors to just do really, and I explain it to them. I tend to be the director who will give you some really clear, believable reason why this could be this way, so that you actually can make some good, you know, human sense out of it. I usually always do that, you know, because then there's a reason, and I find it's easier for actors if I give them anything that makes any sense and say, here's why you're so mad. Let's just say this has really pissed you off. Let's say that you really don't care at all, and here's why you don't care, even though it's a big deal. Here's why, and I'll just tell them something that just makes some kind of quick sense, and I have the actors go for it. Now, what I'm doing is, I don't always know, and it's different. You know, when this situation, the tone of this is kind of almost a romantic comedy, I've got you two people in this room, and this dial. You know what, And then what happens is sometimes it'll lead us to write what I want it to be, or it'll inform a different idea suddenly because you embrace that idea so well that suddenly what was revealed to me was the other thing. And sometimes this is exactly how Oscar performances come around. We find them right there on the day. I mean, right? I mean, these Oscar performances, you know, it's not like we have months of rehearsal or something. No, most of that magic is conjured on the day. And if you listen to anyone who you would respect, who's been doing this a while, they'll tell you always, man, it's the stuff we come up with on the set on the day that tends to be the best. Now, you're going to be way more set up to be able to do that if you really get into this idea of embracing direction and making it your superpower. Even if you feel that what you're being told is screwy, why not just take advantage of the moment to see if you can't spin that into gold? Just embrace it and turn it around and see if you can make it work. What a great muscle you are building. I mean, this is the stuff you want to develop, your ability to do that, because I tell you the byproduct of that is you just become a more open, facile, understanding actor. You don't just kind of confine in tunnel vision one idea that you have, and then you stick to that, and you don't look at any of the rest of the evidence. You're just, you know what you're going to do now. No, you become this person whose peripheral vision is wide, and as you look at something, You're not just immediately focusing on one idea and sticking to it by diggity. You're open for stuff. And then that also translates to when you start your rehearsal. You came in with maybe a plan, an idea, and as soon as this person started speaking to you the way they were, it just changed you. Now, you see, you're open for that because you're not beholden to this one thing because you've proven to yourself again and again there are so many different ways to do something, and all of them are valid. We just need to find the best one for this particular project on this particular day, and to find that we're going to be better served if we're open to whatever is happening, to what's being told us, to our ability to just completely change direction if we want to, because we have trained ourselves to be this adept at it. Does that make sense? Do you see how that could be your superpower? Do you see how it would make you a more facile and confident and secure actor? Well, that was my intention. Because I'll tell you, the actors that I work with, when they go off and book jobs and tell me about their experience, the one constant I'm always hearing is how the director really enjoyed working with them and how open they were to changes and how easy they were to get along with and how the director would end up spending more time with them because they were so user-friendly and easy to work with. That's just what happened, and the experience became something quite wonderful. Or for those newbie actors I've worked with who have gone out and managed to book suddenly a big role, when I asked them if they were nervous on the set, I would usually hear, no, they weren't. And the reason? They weren't worried about what the result was going to be because they knew that even if the powers that be didn't like what they started out doing in whatever scene, they knew they were going to be able to take whatever direction was given them. They weren't going to be uptight about it or feel like somehow, you know, what they were doing was wrong. None of that. All of that was gone. They were used to going to a place, working out, getting direction, doing it, and knowing that in the end, you know, no one loses an eye. We figure the thing out. We get it sorted. And that knowledge, that constant working that way, put them in a headspace where they could show up on a set and just enjoy the day and not be uptight or verklempt with the idea of, well, what if what I do is wrong and then they want to try and fix it so they don't look like a fool? They don't even think of any of that. They go in, they roll up their sleeves, they bring something to the table to begin with, and if people want to change, they do it. They do it efficiently. They do it over and over again. So, here's what I want you to try. The next time someone gives you some direction, or gives you an idea they'd like you to try, even if you think it's stupid, just go after it. Make it work. Use it as a test to see if you can take whatever you're given and on the spot, make it work in the scene. Just make it work. Change your idea, change your perspective, and just suddenly make that thing work. I promise you, the confidence this exercise will give you will really enhance your chances to not only book work, but to continue to work and flourish as an artist. Well, that's what I have for you here in the beginning of the year 2023. I hope you all have an incredibly successful year. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. I'm Jeff Seymour. If you'd like to find out more about the Real Life Actor approach, I have a book on Amazon, The Real Life Actor. Or you can go to the Real Life Actor website, reallifeactor.com. It's all there. Thanks again for listening.